Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 246, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Tuesday, July 19th, 2022.
Come on, yep. Jack, you know, July 19th is only one thing. National Words with Friends Day. We're back in fucking, what is that, 2011?
Are we back? Is Words with Friends back?
No, I think this feels like a very 2011 holiday.
The internet just forgot to delete this off of the celebration list.
And look, if you're in a tropical environment and you're trying to get booze, it's also a National Daiquiri Day.
Okay. You know what I mean? Or if you're not in a tropical environment and you just want like a lot of sugar with your sugary rum. You know, just you like sugar. I like sugar.
Some American engineer created it in 1898 during the Spanish-American. Okay, this is already too much.
That sounds like they're stealing some shit from people they met in a country they were colonizing and were like, look what I invented.
What's this island called? Daiquiri. Okay, I think we got a name now.
I think we're in business. All right. Well, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. No Starbucks, never had hope in the chicken sandwich game. Yes, your mother and child reunion made me sick. Now I gotta complain. That is it's Paul Simon's Mother and Child Reunion. So shout out to the quarantine kids hearing us talk about that being the name for when you stick an egg with a chicken.
Yep. In a dish. Yep.
In a dish. Starbucks tried it. Didn't go well. Mm-mm. I feel like that's like a deep cut, the Mother and Child Reunion, but it's like a deep cut off his greatest hits album. So I don't know what you call that. It's like not
that's
one like of his top
five. For the heads. That's for the heads.
It's for the greatest hits, deep cut heads. the true Simon heads. I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
When the sun shines, we'll shine together. Told you I'll eat you forever. Said I'll always be your friend. took an oath, I'ma stick it till the end. Now with more lawsuits than ever, know that we'll still have each other. I believe Subway uses real tuna. I believe Subway real uses real tuna. Una. Subway use real tuna. Okay, shout out to Lockeroni. It's like, you look, there were the judge allowed like the lawsuit that's like, yo, the Subway tuna is not tuna lawsuit.
We're talking about it.
I know,
we're
so I'm just saying
it's gonna be good most timing of the episode.
Because guess what? I have shit to say, okay?
Una, that's fun. I love that. Well, speaking of fun and things we love, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a brilliantly talented comedian, actor, writer, who you know from Los Espookies, Shrill Search Party. Please welcome back to the show, Greta Titelman!
Oh my goodness. I want you to know that Mother and Child Reunion by Paul Simon is like one of my favorite Paul Simon songs.
Wow.
Really?
Amazing.
But Mother and Child Reunion. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good one. It
opens up with
cut,
that egg beater guitar. It is a little bit of a deep cut.
It's a deep cut, but it really does hit. And also, I ride very hard for Subway Tuna.
Well, there we go. Perfect. Well, look at that.
See,
we nailed
about me. Little bit about me.
So it's I'm not the biggest Paul Simon fan. Like, I know a good amount of the songs, but how did you come into contact with your most favorite Child and Daughter Reunion song? Like, how did you end up interacting with it?
With that Paul Simon song?
Yeah, because I'm hearing it's a deep cut. I mean, like, is it just one of those things, if you grew up around Simon parents, it was just blasting or something?
Yeah, I also think that, like, there's something very East Coast summertime about listening to Paul Simon.
That's Paul Simon, okay. James Taylor.
If you were born in the window of, like, 1980 to 1995. I'm going to give you a 15-year window.
Wow.
I feel like you had exposure at some point in an East Coast summer to listening to, like Paul Simon, Bruce Springsteen, James Taylor.
Right.
Little Billy, Billy Joel. Although that was kind of year round for my family.
Yeah.
We were a big greatest hits family. We had all the greatest hits albums for like all of those people. So I had I wasn't going beyond that.
Very like white East Coast family vibes.
Right.
Is how I would describe it.
That makes so much, because, you know, Her Majesty, who also grew up in the same region you did, she always puts on Paul Simon like on a long car ride. She's like, you know, my dad always just used to play it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is some nailed on cultural shit.
It's very like we're hot, we still have the AC going, but it's so humid that we can't avoid it. We're in the car 4 hours. We're driving to Rehoboth.
Right.
We're listening to, you know.
Oh, you're going to Rehoboth?
I'm not going to Rehoboth personally. We are more of a Nantucket family ourselves. But
Rehoboth.
The Nantucket drive.
I just wanted
was
to say it with the
so
accent.
Long, with that Delaware accent. Yeah. Rehoboth.
I'm going back to the Jersey Shore in about a week and a half. So
Manco Pizza?
Annual pilgrimage, Manco Pizza.
Okay.
The boards, we're going to go up the boards. We're going to get some Manco. And
love it.
Yeah, I'm pumped. I can't wait.
It's going to be great.
Love that.
And then a week in Pittsburgh.
Hey,
love Pittsburgh. My dad's from Pittsburgh.
Oh, really? My in-laws are from Pittsburgh.
And there we go.
And I grew up in Wheeling, West Virginia, which is like kind of a suburb, sneaky suburb of Pittsburgh. Anyways, we're all connected.
Yeah.
We're going to get to know you a little bit better.
We're all connected.
In a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We're going to talk about just the mainstream media articles in the aftermath of Roe being overturned and how they're covering the case of the 10-year-old rape victim who crossed state lines to get a legal abortion, and just the way that that's being covered, miscovered, and just where we're at with the mainstream media, not just the right wing, the mainstream media as well.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Subway Tuna Gate. We have new developments that are shocking.
It's tuna, all right? It's not a tuna. It is tuna.
It is a tuna.
There and maybe some other things.
And we'll talk about Major League Baseball. It's like the one time a year when it's okay to talk about Major League Baseball because the All-Star game is happening. And did you know that shit was happening in L.A., Miles?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I knew because like all the people who like work at Dodger Stadium authorized a strike that like could have, I don't know if right. they're striking yeah, yeah, at yeah. the stadium, but it's, yeah.
So there was like a news peg with it because like somebody hit me up and was like, hey man, like I'm thinking of paying absurd amounts of money to go to the, to
watch men swing sticks,
the home run derby.
Yeah.
I am so not invested in baseball at all. Like in all sport, like I love watching sports. I love hockey. I love tennis. I love basketball. I will watch football, but like for some reason, baseball is just so long.
Right.
And so long.
It's, but I think that like an all-star situation I could be into.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's more fun stuff happening.
The home run derby is like basically what baseball should be. If they like made baseball again today, like I feel like that's what it would be. It's just people trying to hit as many home runs as possible. But yeah, I couldn't go. I kind of wanted to go, but him inviting me was the first I had learned that it was in LA. LA is like the snobbiest sports city. It's just like, yeah, okay.
Everything's fine. Overpriced, like for sports, you know, and like that's the problem. It's a very, you know, it's like the Dodgers are like one of the few places you can go and not like go bankrupt enjoying a day at the ballpark.
Anyways, depending on how good my seats were, I might have caught COVID is what is the moral of the story, because it seems like half of Major League Baseball players are unvaccinated, and it's the American half. It's all the dudes from America are like unvaccinated. It's pretty funny. We'll get to all of that plenty more, but first, Greta, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Well, obviously, being very topical, I was searching this morning J-Lo and Ben Affleck's wedding.
Yes. I can't believe it happened.
You know, I felt like, is this the most interesting thing about my personality? Is anyone going to glean anything about, you know, the mystery that I shroud myself in as Greta Titelman? You know, no. But it's important nonetheless. And I think it's something that the Daily Zeitgeist, you know, it is in the Daily Zeitgeist. Yeah. To me, it's very important, big piece of pop culture. And she confirmed that she changed her name to Jennifer Lynn Affleck.
No.
That's wild, right? Like, that is
what?
An amazing, a wild swing.
She's now just Jaffleck?
She's Jaffleck.
Oh, my God. Jaffleck. Yeah. The
she's,
branding.
She's going to get a duck to quack Jaffleck.
Jaffleck.
Yeah.
Wow. Wait, so her middle name is Lynn? You said her
middle name is Lynn. She was always Jennifer Lynn Lopez.
Right.
But now she's Jennifer Lynn Affleck. And to me, I was really taken aback. I was like, oh, damn. She took the last name.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I don't have Abe's last name. I love Abe, but I'm like, honey, I'm not taking anybody's last name. The paperwork alone, I don't
I got
deal
a good
with.
Thing going with this, I need all new everything cards? No.
No, no. Social Security? You're out of your mind.
No.
Like,
no.
I guess she's not really dealing with that. She has, like, a team of people that are executing on that for her. But still, it's like, she never became, you know... She's
Jake Holmes.
Been J-Lo for so long. Yeah. I mean, she still will be J-Lo forever, but
now
she's Jaffleck.
I hope that's a signal that this is enduring, that this isn't some flash in the pan thing, that this is, they're like, for her, it's like to show, yo, like, I really feel good about this man with the Phoenix tattoo on his back.
I think that they are, like, really legit in love. I really do. To come back around 20 years later, like, there's something there.
Oh, for
you know?
Sure.
And for, like, what they've been, and they've been through a lot, too. Like, they've had their share of, like, shitty, like, marriages. So I feel like, it does feel like that thing where it's, like in a rom-com where they have to go through, like, the other dating scenarios to be like, you know what? In the end, it was all about this one. Me and Jaffleck.
And also the sign of a true, like, icon and media, just, like, genius that, like, that is the thing that could, I would not have noticed this story had it not been for her actually taking his name, which was, even though it's, like, the traditional thing, was the most unexpected thing she could have done. Like, it seems so strange that she would take his last name. She's like a bigger star than he is, right? By kind of a lot.
I like how we have like this Game of Thrones like conception of this marriage. You're like, she would sully her name with House Affleck. Right.
Well, because you know, is when you become an icon of that status, you are your name. Like,
right.
There are very few people. It's literally like Cher, Beyonce, J-Lo. It's like.
Right.
Prince, Dolly there Parton. Are very few people that are singular in their name.
Sure.
And then to like change it's you know,
warms
whatever.
Yeah. I guess not many people are like calling her Jennifer Lopez necessarily. They're calling her J-Lo. So like that is still there. That's a good point.
Yeah.
So in a way, maybe it's cowardly. It's like, you know what? Until you start going by Jennifer Affleck in public, it's meaningless.
When I saw Jennifer Affleck, I thought it was Jennifer Garner. I was like, wait, Jennifer Garner changed her name back then? And
I don't even think Jennifer Garner changed her name to Jennifer Affleck.
That would be wild, though, if he was going. That would be wild if he was going around just creating Jennifer Afflecks.
Like collecting gens. That's his kink.
Yeah.
He's like, I will turn every Jennifer in the United States into Jennifer Affleck.
Hey, Janet, you ever think about changing your name to Jennifer? No, it's not my name. All right, just think about it. Why'd you ask me that? Over. Keep asking me that, Ben.
Wait, I was going to say something and then I forgot about names and that was really dumb. And I don't know why I said I was going to say something and then I forgot.
Her brand. She should go by Jennifer Affleck and not J-Lo. Otherwise, she's
Ben
not
Affleck, Beyonce. I don't know what I was going to say.
Back.
But
it'll
I mean, here's what I will say. When Kim Kardashian West changed her name back to Kim Kardashian, what a branding nightmare. She had built like KKW Beauty and all these other things, and then she's has since relaunched everything else. But it's kind of like it's hard to
counterpoint. It's like when you know an athlete can change their jersey number and just sell more jerseys because they're like, right. Oh yeah, I'm this new number now, and people are like, fuck, well now I gotta buy this version.
I remembered what I was going to say. When Mariah Carey married Nick Cannon, and Nick Cannon got Mariah tattooed from literally shoulder to shoulder across his back. And she got MC tattooed on her wrist for her new initials, even though they were the same as her old initials.
Chef's kiss. Mm-hmm. Whoa, I don't know
that
him.
Is perfect. That is...
That's the hack right there.
100% Mariah Carey. Delivering full Mariah Carey. Oh, that's so nice, honey. Here's what I did.
I got one, too. But those are your initials. Yeah. Mariah Cannon, right?
Yeah,
and I'd like you to write my vows as well as yours. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's the vibes I'm getting from that. What is something you think is underrated?
Hot dogs.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Really having a moment right now.
Why? Is this, has someone brought this up already?
No, not at all.
I think the closest we got to was putting a banana in a hot dog. With peanut butter and jelly.
No.
A little insight to my weekend. Jack sent me a picture of a, like, on the
air. I saw that.
Banana in brioche with Nutella, and he did it, and it got the approval from children. I'm the stoner chef goat.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Glizzy.
Yeah, exactly.
The banana, Nutella, Glizzy, aka the Miles Gray.
The Miles Grizzy. You know what I mean?
Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say this. Hot dogs underrated, hamburgers overrated. Wow. It's barbecue season. Mm-hmm. I'm just here to tell everyone, I don't like coming to your barbecue and not being presented with a hot dog. Like to me, they're delicious. Okay. When you, it's a special food. It's a summer food. It's like, you know, seasonal. It's a seasonal delight in my mind.
It's true.
I'm not eating a hot dog in winter. December, I'm eating a hamburger in winter. Yeah. But you know what I love? A hot dog in summer. Because to me, nothing says summer like a crispy dog on an open flame in a Martin's potato roll, honey.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. What kind of frank are we talking? You got specific with the bun. What kind of frank?
Yes. So I like this from a German butcher shop in Scranton, Pennsylvania. They make really good hot dogs, and that's what my aunt gets, and those things are really good. But you know, get your local butcher shop hot dog. Get a good quality dog.
Okay.
And if you can't fuck with that, I don't care. Give me an all beef Hebrew natty. Give me a ballpark Frank.
Nathan's? Like, how about Nathan's?
Nathan, sure. I'm not going to be crazy over here. I just want the option. I want it to be charred on the grill, put it on a little bun, give me ketchup, mustard, relish, chopped onion if we're feeling crazy.
Oh, yeah. You got to.
Hot dogs are almost unfuckable too. Like, there's probably varying levels, but like the worst hot dog is like a 4 out of 10 on the, like, what delivering on your expectations for a hot dog chart, yeah. Whereas like a bad burger.
Oh,
a bad burger is it's so bad. Gross.
Yeah.
It makes you like want to throw up.
I will say, have you ever spiral cut a hot dog?
No. Okay, Is that when you just cut around it?
Yeah, like if you take a link and then you just kind of rotate it along your knife blade and get it like a nice spiral cut down the length of it. So when you grill it, you get more surface area that chars up, because I like a little bit of char crunchy to it. So by doing that, it like kind of even lengthens it a little bit. So if you have a longer bun, it'll fit your bun, get more charred surface area. Anyway, try it. It's a delight.
Wow. More girth and more length, honey, on that hot dog. Exactly. And that's what we're always looking
for. Addition through subtraction.
Mm. Wow.
What does it come out as? Does it come out as like a curly, does it look like a pig's tail? Like
depending on how deep you cut it, right? Like if you go too deep, like it will get a little fucking spooky. But as long as if you kind of get down, like the way you could do it is like take like a kebab skewer or something, like put a wood skewer through it. That way, you know, you won't cut fully through because you have that in the core of it.
Got it.
Okay. Also, if you want to go even further, you render some bacon fat and you pan fry that shit in the rendered bacon fat. And you got like a ripper that isn't quite a ripper. Anyway,
yum.
That's my 2 cents.
You know what I cannot get behind? And I saw it on TikTok. People slicing the middle of hot dogs, opening it up, filling it with burger meat and making like a hamburger hot dog
turducken thing. Yeah.
Fuck
no, it's like, let's just give me a good hot dog and that's it.
Heard.
Yeah, the internet needs to just shut the fuck up every once in a while. Yeah, just be like, just go grill with some human beings and see how they feel about that bullshit.
If I come to your barbecue and you are giving me some Frankenstein's monster ass like hot dog hamburger combo, I'm leaving. Yeah. You scare me as an individual. Yeah.
That is an aggressive act of violence towards your guest.
It is.
If you're experimenting on me with your TikTok bullshit, no. Mm-hmm. Unless you're like, wait till you try it and it actually pays off, but otherwise, please spare me.
No.
And also, I'm going to put it out there, a little cruel to the animals. Like, it adds, like, a layer of animal cruel, like, humiliation to the animal cruelty, the normal animal cruelty that we're condoning by, like, eating the animals. I'm going to stick you inside of you. And it's just like, come on, man.
How does it rank next to mother and daughter?
Mother and child reunion is still worse.
Reunion is still worse than wrapping a hot dog in ground beef.
A mother and child reunion being taking a chicken egg and chicken and eating it together. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
That's fucking disgusting. Now I'm just going to think of mother and child reunion.
That's what that song's about. That's what that song's about.
It's about Oyako Donburi from Japan. It's when he was on tour in Japan, he was offered Oyako Donburi.
Hey, we do know he likes to take, quote, inspiration from going to foreign countries. Great. Wow. He's a skilled thief, I would say, but voice like an angel. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back, we'll talk about Politico.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, It's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And I think it's pretty well made the rounds, but, you know, truly horrifying turn of events, entirely predictable, probably happening more frequently than people realize. A 10-year-old rape victim crossed state lines to get a legal abortion in Indiana because it was illegal in her home state of Ohio. And this was reported in the Indianapolis Star, and the right immediately started claiming it was fake news and bullshit. But actually the first people to claim it was fake news was the Washington Post. So Biden cited the article when he was doing his speech about his executive order. Was that the speech where he was read again for emphasis?
Oh yeah, or whatever. I think when I was out, yeah.
So the Washington Post, I guess they really wanted to give Biden a couple Pinocchios or whatever the fuck they do there. So they did this fact check where they were Glenn Kessler from the Washington Post was a one source story about a 10-year-old and an abortion goes viral, and was just kept leaning on the fact that it was a one source story, which it was by necessity because it is about a 10-year-old, you fucking ghoul. It needs to be about a 10-year-old. And also, it's about a 10-year-old who is technically doing something that some people, powerful people in her state, would think is illegal and want to make illegal. So the head of the Nieman Lab wrote an article about how, you know, journalists need to get comfortable with writing stories where there's not the thorough sourcing that they're used to, because now a bunch of Americans are living in a state where just getting healthcare, life-saving healthcare, is illegal. And everybody's fucking terrified of going to jail. So Like, I think that's a very good point. I think it's like probably a deeper thing, but I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of it's born out of people like Jesse Waters being like, this story sounds like he's on Fox thinking like it's unimaginable.
Yeah.
Like that this would happen.
Yeah.
But that's the point that Laura Hazard Owen from the Nieman Lab is saying is like, yes, there will continue to be these quote unimaginable stories because we're unfortunately in a time where this is happening. And to act like you have to like sort of rely on these old conventions of like, well, how many stories can or how many people can we cite to do it? And if we can't, then we just need to call it fake. That's massively dangerous. And it does a disservice to the people who are fighting for their reproductive rights.
Also, we're talking about a child. Yeah. Like, I mean, we could be talking about anyone and I would still feel the same way. But it's like we're talking about a 10-year-old here. Mm-hmm. Like, a 10-year-old where in the eyes of some legislators in the state, they want her to be deemed a murderer. They want her to face murder charges. Mm-hmm. A 10-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It makes me so sick.
Right.
So, so sick that I'm it's like, it's unfathomable to me. And I think that there is a huge problem with mainstream media across the board. It's like, it's no longer just a black and white, like, oh, of course it's Fox being crazy. Yeah. It's like the fucking Washington Post too. Yeah. It's like, what's going on? Everyone's lost their mind.
An abortion by a 10-year-old is pretty rare, Kessler notes. So, first of all, by a 10-year-old, you wow. motherfucker? Like, what are you talking about? And second of all, the Columbus Dispatch reported in 2020, 52 people under the age of 15 received an abortion in Ohio that year. So that's weekly, bro. Like, what are you saying is rare? Like, that's rare to the point that you're, like, good? You're like, we're good here.
It's wild because it's like they're only like in the way they report on this stuff. It's like they don't want to accept the reality that they may have created by like both sidesing people who talk like this for decades. And I think that's what like even to Greta's point is that so many of these write ups are caught up in the like, this is a bad look for the GOP or like, maybe Joe Biden's lying, completely misses the point that a child is having to be in one of the most distressful moments of their life and living in a state that would treat them hostile. And, you know, that this is all occurring at the same time. But we're focusing on like the horse race of like electoral politics rather than like the humanity of people having their rights curtailed. And that's what's, I think, the biggest disservice with all the coverage is like, rather than constant pointing out objectively, it doesn't have to be an opinion piece, that these people have a plan to take away your rights, just point by point. But it's always like, well, you know, what is this
how's
person
this going to play? I've heard like a bunch of
choice movement think of it when they
I've heard
they
a bunch of
shit,
fucking
like,
stories about how it's like fading. The impact is fading of the overturning of Roe, like as a political thing, like just talking about the fucking like voting and how much people are going to vote.
Yeah, well, we've just seen already like states like Idaho, the Republican Party is already changing the platform of the party to include like forced birth and like the most violent anti-trans stuff. So I don't know if that's fading and I'm not sure what they mean unless that's a salve for you to continue to, you know, sort of bury your head in the sand over what's actually occurring in real time right now.
No, they mean it's fading in terms of like making Democrats care about voting. Like just like giving it up for a lost cause, being like, and this isn't the most impactful like decision that voters think about when going to the polls. So like it's just they're both sizing it and also just telling a version of events where it's like, but this is the way it is, folks. And it's they're talking about fucking the most inhumane fucking like anti-human bullshit. Like it's crazy.
I do think though that the question that remains, especially for, I mean, younger generation of voters is like, does it matter? Right. And I think that when we watch, you know, people make decisions for a country where the majority of the country is against the decision, it does make you feel like, well, what the fuck is the point?
Yeah.
I think that's a huge mind fuck for a lot of people. And I think that it's something that I'm definitely extremely concerned about, especially with the midterms and everything coming up and who's going to be running for president. And it's all just so scary and volatile and sad. And I think that we're so beyond divided that it's almost like we've become desensitized to these issues that are humanitarian crisis, climate crisis, all of these things that are so much bigger than whether or not you're a fucking right or left winger. It's like,
Well, we're seeing this play out in like multiple arenas, right? Where like the accepted wisdom of the 20th century or way of doing things worked for the 20th century. We are now in a completely different place. Like whether that's the pandemic and how to handle the pandemic and like the economics of a pandemic, there are so many ways that people need to begin thinking about how we do things in new ways, but everything's being done like just in the status quo way. And now people are wondering like why nothing works the way it does. Like we don't have a media apparatus that can properly convey to people what is actually happening and who is responsible, because it's trapped in this like very like kumbaya, like Republicans and Democrats can't get along and we don't want to take shots at people who are actively trying to harm others and take away their rights. Yeah. And we're not able to authentically describe those kinds of actions for what they are. And then even with, you know, with stories like this, they're finding themselves in places where they're looking at a situation now where, you know, the activities of potentially like anyone with a uterus in this country could become illegal. And they're like, well, how do you report that stuff? Like, is anyone going to want to talk to us? Because I need like 9 on the record sources. If not, what's the point of reporting it? It's like, well, The point of reporting it is to let people know the state of things across the country. And it's grim for a lot of people. But, you know, we also have a lot of, you know, these journalistic outlets are in places where the threats aren't necessarily the same. So it's all like morphed into this way that nothing is properly working.
Right. There's a New York Times piece that does a good job of like, it talks about the 10-year-old case. It talks about a person who had a miscarriage and had to fly from Texas to Colorado and like spend thousands of dollars to fly to Colorado for an abortion, sitting in the front row so that she could reach the bathroom quickly in case she had to deliver. Like good details, good like journalism of like what this shit actually looks like in people's lives. And that story is in the opinion section, and it's an opinion column because the facts of the article so strongly support one side's argument that it has to go in the opinion section rather than being like 20-point font across the front of the newspaper the way it fucking deserves to be when there are human rights violations happening by like your government. Yeah, I mean, Miles, you alluded to this, like, Politico article, like, this idea of, like, they have these quotes from these, like, Republican strategists about the 10-year-old case, and they're like, I'm not touching this story with a 10-foot pole wrapped in a blanket, wrapped in a whatever. And it's just like, it's like, and the piece itself is like, the case has become an instant flashpoint in the nation's abortion wars, alarming Republicans as they try to use abortion to rally base voters without alienating the majority of Americans who say abortion should remain legal. It's like reading coverage of how the Rwandan genocide is like a politically risky gambit for the Hutus. Like, what, you are living in a fucking nightmare and you're talking about like it's political optics.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it feels like it's just a symptom of how the United States operates, right? Like we've thoroughly devalued what a human life is worth just in the name of profit and like wars of conquest and things like that, that it's poisons even how we talk about what's happening with each other. Like it's just even like, yeah, well, that's a bad look. Not sure what the human cost is, because that never factors into a single thing that is done in this country. And it's like, that's how you see this reporting play out to the point where like you're saying, oh, that's like, it's almost like a hot take or an opinion to like thoroughly describe the situation a human being is in. It's like, well, that's too compelling for one side. Like, what the fuck? That's the truth. And that's what people need to know.
Right.
Also, just the general avoidance of not wanting to talk about the reality that now we're all going to be living in. It's like, well, you can't, you either need to be able to talk about the reality that these people built for us, or maybe assess why it should never happen in the first place. And I think it's just the cowardice and the general avoidance of being able to be like, yep, we're dealing with the fact that a 10-year-old, a child, is pregnant. We're not even talking about how or why, what those circumstances are. And, you know, I can't even, it makes me so mad and hopeless as a woman. Like, we just don't have rights.
Yeah.
As a woman, as a child, I mean, like, as a child, you don't have rights. As a woman, you don't have rights. But don't worry, your unborn baby has more rights than you do. So,
Even if it costs everyone their life.
Yeah.
In which case, what is that all for? And, you know, there's even the idea that people are like, there's like an article in like the New Republic. It's like, don't expect the corporations to save you either. Like,
oh, definitely. Yeah.
You know, because even the beginning where they're like, hey, if you're subservient to our corporate enterprise, we will give you the protection of healthcare. And, you know, there's already companies like Facebook and like Snapchat or whatever that have been real coy about what they do with user data as it relates to this kind of stuff. And, you know, at every level, yeah, it is. You look at things and you're like, Jesus, where does the bit of like respite come from? And yeah, the more you think about it, it's like, it's, you know, having to accept that the leadership is really unable to do those things and having to, you know, figure out like as human beings how to do that for each other. And it's just, it's all just very new for people who I think are used to this idea that it's like, yeah, you vote for these things and then these very basic rights stay in place and, you know, they can bicker about the other things going on. But
there's
not much to protect us these days.
The idea that this is like not a politically, like that it's not going to win elections, or that it's like becoming less impactful with voters, or it's not like the main, like people vote with their wallet and they're going to vote based on what they see at the gas prices. Like, that's being said by the same people who are covering this story in such like an unaccountably like drab and bland way that makes it seem like we live in like an unbreakable system where this is just like part of a game.
But it does feel that way. It does feel like we live in an unbreakable system sometimes.
In the other
and
way.
And I think, yes.
Right.
And
yeah.
I think that it's like, I don't know, maddening.
Yeah.
It is maddening for sure. But like, I think the fact that our entire corporate media apparatus is just speaking in terms of like wins and losses and like optics and who's gonna win and who's gonna lose, like they've lost perspective. They have lost like any sort of sense of proportion, I feel like. And it's, I don't know, and instead of covering it like a human rights crisis, they're covering it like a politically like risky gambit by the fucking Republicans.
Yeah. I mean, you saw how much, you know, like even the invasion of Ukraine by Russia got a lot of like inches of people saying like, this is terrible, this is a human rights violation. And, you know, because at the end of the day, that benefits a military industrial complex. So there's a reason to cover that in a way that like urgency and action has to be part of like the narrative around it. And you look at something like this and it's clear that like just the idea that protecting or sanctifying someone's humanity and what their physical rights are and like the curtailing of that isn't like this top of the line issue every single day for the people who are, you know, communicating to like, you know, the public that rely on them to know what's going on. That makes it. Yeah. It just makes it feel very.
Yeah.
You realize what is more important at times. And again, like we're reminded over and over, there's no amount of climate change death or child shooting deaths or things like that that can really affect things, because, you know, it's not always like a profitable thing to say like kids just like we need less guns so children can be safe, or we need less goddamn fossil fuel extraction so we can have a planet for people down the road.
But Greta, to your point about like, it does feel like this unbroken, unbreakable system that it just like refuses to like hear what we're saying or like refuses to observe our humanity. Like there are times when people like break through that. And all they do is just like change it to be like, no, so like this thing is obviously fucking insane that like, you know, like Bernie Sanders or AOC or, you know, any of the people who like have a stance that is like, no, this isn't a given. Like this shouldn't be a given. These are like wide open, blatant like ways we're being mistreated. And like, here are some things we could do about it. And like the thing that makes it feel so much like it's unchangeable and unbreakable and like, you know, not even worth like imagining a different way is that the entire mainstream media like just ignores the fuck out of those people, like just completely. And so the way they talk about things is completely in this other way that just makes it's like designed to sap you of all like imagination and energy. I feel like
that's capitalism, honey.
Yeah, it's very good at what it does, capitalism.
Yeah, because I mean, even then they can't even describe like the forces of it all that play out like on top of it. It's like every single issue, or it's like misogyny or white supremacy or whatever, like it's like these concepts that are as clear as fucking day. And even then they're like, well, you know, some people think women or people with uteruses aren't fucking human. Right. And we get this like very obscure retelling of what we're experiencing, and it unfortunately keeps a lot of people like in a position of like questioning and wondering like what's going on versus being able to tell people this is what's going on and this is what needs to change.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect.
Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back, and it's Tuna Gate. It's back. It's the story that, you know, I think, Miles, you said it's the story that, like, is number one on your, like, list of just, like, ballot initiatives, like, things that you're concerned about.
Yes, it's like, well, and also the thing that most frequently Zeit Gang tags me in on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah. If anything is happening with Subway Tuna, they either, I have my supporters who are like, they can't hold us down, or I have people being like, is this your king?
You ride for Subway Tuna.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good.
Till the fucking fins come off, okay?
Honey wheat.
Oh, wow. I've never had on honey wheat. Okay. I've always, look, I'm a, like,
I've always
so...
had it just shoveling it into my mouth with my hands.
You just say pint, no bread.
Exactly. I'm like, yo, just give me the bag. Just give me the bag.
You say, give me that,
it.
And then you say, I'll take a little sun chip on the side. I'll yeah. dip a little sun chip.
Dip a
that.
Little French onion sun chip.
Yeah. Mm,
perfect. And a mousse bouche is what we call it.
Delicious. Delicious.
But yeah, people know I love the Subway tuna. I love tuna sandwiches. I grew up eating tuna sandwiches as a kid.
The best.
So, like, when
the
I
best.
Had like that little moment where I had like a little bit of pocket money as like a preteen and like on my bike and like you could go to Subway. That was like me feeling like an adult. I'm like, I have experience with tuna sandwich and I will now order this rather than being like, Mom, what do I like here? So I have like this connection with the Subway tuna. Now, people
carrying
know
a briefcase. I'm just picturing little Miles riding his bike carrying a briefcase full of
just dripping out of the briefcase. Just all my Subway tuna in there.
A little like wet mayo drip.
Yeah.
A
yeah.
little condensation.
Man. Yeah. Remember the old wrapping paper that they used to have? Yes. That like old Victorian drawings of like the early New York subway
yeah.
shit?
Yes.
From our real heads when they were doing the U gouge and cutting the U shaped like hole out the top and then
damn,
not down
I
the
totally
side.
I totally forgot about that.
Wait, I forgot about that. What?
The U-gouge. Okay, so if you look now, people be cut, they take the bread and they just slice it down the side and open
the way
it.
Normal people
back in the day, they used to cut around, they would like lay it like this and cut around the tops so it was gouged out in a U-shape.
Oh, treat it like a giant bread bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about that too.
And remember the little top, if they weren't a real artist with it, that the top would be like mad thin,
crumbly and thin.
It would just like be soaked in like 2 seconds. Anyway, all that to say is
the U gouge.
Yeah, damn. It's called the U gouge.
But those knives really well. It was like pumpkin carving knives.
Yeah,
in Subway.
100%.
They were quick with it too.
This lawsuit hit like about a year ago. It's like where these people were alleging Subway is fucking lying. There is no tuna. We took it to get DNA tested. They said this. What the fuck is this? Is what the lab results said. And the story came back in the news because a judge basically, I think Subway was like, hey, man, like, let's just call it a day. We don't need to let this trial move forward. The judge is like, no, like, we will hear more in the trial of is this fake tuna or not.
So the most headlines I've gotten in years.
Yeah, truly. The most important court case I'll ever have.
Right. Exactly. He's like, I'll allow it. So the takeout. Shout out the takeout. They're looking at sort of just generally, they're like, you know, they're giving us some insight into how this sort of analysis or like why the murky tuna thing even occurs. So the way they talk about it is Subway says that they got like most of their tuna is skipjack tuna and it's 100% sustainable, et cetera, et cetera. The takeout talks about how like they're the most sustainable version of catching tuna is like pole and line, like individual fucking fishermen catching one motherfucking fish at a time. And they're like, that's fucking tuna. But a lot of places, most places don't do it like that. They use another process where they'll like surround a school of targeted fish that they're trying to harvest and just drop a big ass net around them and just scoop out a bunch of the fucking ocean at once.
Yeah. And, Finding Nemo. End of Finding Nemo style. Yeah.
In this process, though, This leads to other kinds of seafood being in the hall, like sharks and turtles and like other shit. Turtles. And they said that could apparently be leading to this process as to why like it's not saying that it's a 100% tuna. And this is apparently an issue that goes beyond Subway. Like a lot of tuna is mislabeled, apparently. I did not know this.
Okay, wait, now that we just brought up turtles, this is making me feel really crazy.
This does not make it better, Miles. I don't know. You brought this forth as evidence of like, so this explains it.
We eat turtles in Japan, you know?
Was this supposed to make us feel better because we're like, oh, sure, it's just other animals.
It's just rocks
not like,
and turtles.
Oh, it's like... right. Yoga mat or whatever they put in Wonder Bread. Well,
some people were saying there was pork in it, and they're like, no, there's not fucking pork in this. It's, if anything, it's a bunch of ground up turtle and sharks.
You don't know what's in the middle of that school of tuna. You know, there could be a pig in there.
Frankly, who knows what the fish are eating anyway? They could be eating some fucking soprasada down in the ocean for all we know. And then a little bit of pig is inside of them. Or like everything is so fucked.
They could legit be eating yoga mats too that are just washed out to sea. And they're like, no, the only reason it's coming up is yoga mat because of the amount of fucking microplastics that are in everything now. And that's another issue.
We have burger dogs. We have shark, tuna turtle.
Yeah, exactly.
This episode is not making anyone hungry.
Look, all I'm saying, I didn't bring this up to say, look, to each their own.
Are you going to keep eating Subway tuna?
Yeah.
Be real.
Yes. I'm being real.
It's taken a lot for Miles not to respond to that, like Samuel L. Jackson in A Time to Kill. And say, hell yes, I'm going to keep eating it.
Hell yeah, they deserve to die. And I hope they burn in hell.
Do you remember in like the 90s when everyone was like, don't eat Wendy's chili. There are like fingers that get cut off in it. Do you remember that?
Yes, just there that was, old like, unfounded all of this, rumor.
Like, lore around like people finding Band-Aids and fingers and all this in Wendy's chili.
I want to point out to people, so if you might be like, you'll never catch me slipping eating no fucking Subway tuna. Well, guess what? It ain't just canned tuna, okay? In the Atlantic, about like 9 years ago, they did a story about how this nonprofit group had conducted like genetic tests on over like 1,200 samples of fish in the U.S. And they found that, quote, 59% of the fish sold in restaurants and stores with the label tuna was not tuna.
So that's including sushi?
Yes, they found 74% of sushi venues mislabeled items as, quote, tuna when they were not.
Are they just dyeing it pink? What are they doing?
I don't know what the fuck's going on there. Like, feel like...
I think we all just need to become vegan, I think, is what's going on at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, already, I don't do beef burgers anymore. I have Nathan's and Impossible's, like, what I do for my grills now. That's my first step towards getting away from that shit. But, like, yeah, when you're like, tuna's not tuna?
When tuna's not tuna, the world is upside down. That's the biggest takeaway from today.
Exactly. Now Mr. Kessler's got something to write in the Washington Post. He's like, one more fucking thing. Our tuna is not tuna. Alarm bells are going off here at the Washington Post. But I guess that's the thing is that maybe this lawsuit is more about saying like that to get Subway to be like, rather than being like, yo, we got 100% tuna over here. They may need to shift to like, we have 66.667% tuna or whatever.
They could just be like, it's tuna, we think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tuna, like trawler surprise or like seafood hash. Like there are other foods that.
Seafood hash.
there's like corned beef hash is a thing that I have gladly eaten, even though I don't know what the fuck is in that. But
did you ever eat Scrabble growing up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to the Jersey Shore in a week and a half. Of course, I ate Scrapple growing up.
But to me, it's like tuna, the new Scrapple. You know, you don't know what's in it; just tastes good.
Yeah, I mean, and is that bad? I guess that's what we. At the end of the day, I never ate a tuna sandwich because I was like, yes, the taste of tuna. I'm gonna give me my like fish essenced mayonnaise paste.
It's the alchemy
bread of
the mayo, the fish. It's like if you get a little celery in there, sometimes people can pop it up with a dill. I mean, you never know. But you know, have you ever had Scrapple?
No, I've never, but I know about it. Like I watched a lot of cooking shows and I was like, you just take the trimmings and mix it up.
Literally like the other
was left after the hot dog. After the hot dog company has come and taken their pickings, they're like, okay, the rest of this shit, just we either like dump it in the ocean or we turn it into scrap.
Does it taste like organ meat? Or does it have just like generic meat flavor?
No, it tastes like tougher hot dog to me.
Yeah, but like what? It tastes like, and it's like fattier. It's slightly more grizzly.
Yeah, for sure.
Or gristly, yeah, not grizzly like maybe. The bear. Grizzly.
It's a little grizzly too. Yeah. It's a little grizzly. Yeah.
I see. I kind of feel like it's the meat where it goes like you get your cuts of meat and then they make hot dog meat and then they make meat for dog food and stuff like that and right. then what's ever left we're right. at like A, B, C, whatever's left at D becomes scrapple.
D, yeah. I think is for the Department of Corrections, so that's what they feed to incarcerated people and right. then we, yeah, it's like even not fit for what people feed in prisons, I guess. Oof.
Yeah,
I guess I'm down to try it though.
It is good.
Yeah, why not? Okay, I'll try it. Look, bring it on. Bring on the scrapple. Bring on the
half a scrapple tuna. Melt is what you need. You need to do a scrapple melt. You need to do it on two pieces of Roman meal bread.
Wait, whoa. What's the scrapple melt? I've just like had a, it like as a patty side.
You fry it up in a pan and you put a little cheese on there. I had one of my friends growing up, her mom used to put slices of Velveeta on it. I mean, wow. I would get diarrhea for like days holy after, shit. But
I feel like you would get diarrhea by the end of that sandwich.
By looking at it.
I mean, honey, why do you think I have lupus? Okay. It's the autoimmune disease came from the scrapple Velveeta melt. It's crazy, but it's delicious.
Oh,
it will give you diarrhea. If you're constipated, let me make you that for you.
Okay, I'm going for it. And yeah, if there's any store-bought scrapple, let me know. I'll pick it up. I just love how we just went from, yeah, we need to go vegan. And then nah, man, you want to eat the worst parts of a pig's asshole with Velveeta on it.
Yeah.
You know, two extremes lead to
exactly.
the middle.
Right.
You want to eat the edible version of that shit that Jack Nicholson fell into in the original Batman movie, then try scrapple. It's beautiful. Stored in a metal bin somewhere in a factory. Like that's how they dry age it, is like it's stored in a bin somewhere where like people are murdered and then they bring it out and turn it into scrapple. All right. It is the one day of the year that I feel okay talking about Major League Baseball. Is the All-Star game is happening, I think, tonight in Los Angeles.
The one day I feel good about it, tonight,
I think. I know the Home Run Derby was last night. Yeah. So
there's tonight. No, you're right.
Sorry, to clarify, the game occurring tonight, it's like the NBA, like All-Star game. It's like all the best players
National League.
Put on their little outfits and mm-hmm. go for a good game of ball. But it doesn't mean anything, right? It's just like fun.
It does mean they turned it into a thing where I think if the AL or the NL, whoever wins, they get home field advantage in the World Series, or at least that was the case at one point. So they like wanted to add stakes to it because everybody
said it's not just funsies.
It's but it is mostly funsies, and they just like put people in, like a pitcher comes in for like one or two innings, and then
got it. Okay,
there have been memorable All-Star games in my lifetime, but like the last one I feel like was like 99 or something.
Yeah, honestly, I can't. The last time I checked for a Home Run Derby was probably that Sosa McGuire year.
99, yeah, at Fenway.
Was that when he got busted for like taking steroids or something?
Yeah, but like way later.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
They're like, they're doing something no one's ever done. They're like, they were juiced the fuck out. It turns out.
It was a moonshot. That thing's still traveling
right
over Mass Pike. Bob.
Wow, his fingernails are neon green. That might not be anything. Don't worry about it.
Oh, man. Anyways, not always like, I don't know. All right. I'm not going to say that baseball players are dumb, because that's not a nice thing to say. But this is not the most surprising story I've ever heard So any player traveling to Canada has to be vaccinated, as we learned in the NBA playoffs when a bunch of players couldn't travel to Toronto. I think it was actually just one 76er. So the Kansas City Royals had that happen to them this weekend where they were had a game in Toronto, and except 10 players had to not play in the game. So they were outed as being unvaccinated. And, you know, they, in addition to not getting to play in the game, they aren't paid for those games. Ooh. And so that, like, one Phillies catcher, JT Realmuto, said he could sacrifice the $250,000. What's money when I'm not going to let Canada tell me what I do and don't put in my body? For a little bit of money, it's not worth it.
Wow.
Which made me just wonder, like, what do these babies think is in this shit? Like, what are they so
worried? I've seen people get pretty sick.
Yeah, that was
even though
the
they got their vaccine. So it's yeah. I love also just shout out to the class solidarity there. What's 250K? Honestly,
I know.
I'll fart that away just to pwn the Canadians. Like what fool? That's yeah, not just a little bit of money.
Stick it to them.
Of the players who are unvaccinated and can't travel, a whopping 94% of them are from the U.S.
All right.
Yeah, bro.
It's so embarrassing. This country is truly mortifying. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with, like, it's asinine. It's
the most powerful
asinine.
People in our country are like these kinds of athletes, and then other like people in Congress who are asking like doctors if someone who's pregnant can give birth to a taco,
right?
And doing it with a straight face, and like we constantly just like let that shit cook too, which is wild too, like. That when you do stories like this, they're like, hey, anti-vax person, say some misinformation right now.
Right. That's the, yeah, JM, our writer from Canada, who's just watching this with bemused detachment. His hand over his mouth, just a stricken look of horror on his face, was pointing out that, like, vaccinated players don't get asked about it, but the unvaccinated ones are given a platform to spout misinformation. So, like, This dipshit Whit Merrifield said, like Miles said, I've just known too many people who've gotten pretty sick. But then he said, I might get vaccinated if something happens and I happen to get on a team that has a chance to play in Canada in the postseason. So he's basically
what?
Like, he's like, my team sucks. It doesn't really matter. But if I, you know, if it actually means something, I might actually do the damn thing.
Oh, but fans loved that, I'm sure.
It's, but like, again, like we're in this world where like these people aren't being challenged at all. And so they, like, who was it? There was an NBA player who was like very adamant that they weren't going to get vaccinated. And then like their teammates like had a talk with them and their coach like explained to them.
Was it Andrew Wiggins?
Yeah, it was Wiggins. That's right.
Yeah.
And then he was like, yeah, I got vaccinated. and had the season
finals.
Of his fucking career.
I think that's what this guy needs to learn. Whit Merrifield needs to check himself with. I love that his take boils down to, look, if y'all were better at baseball, I might give a fuck about my life.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, whoa.
Yeah. And also just does not give a shit about the general, like, couldn't care less. A lot of it really does boil down to just America's individualistic, like, head up our own ass, just so
the idea no other humans exist except for me.
Right.
Well, because our lovely capitalist society is built for the individual. It's not built for the community. It's not built to actually care for each other and give a shit about each other. It's the me constantly.
Right.
Yeah.
And then if someone dares question or have a conversation about why you make said decision, I think there's such a premium that people are like, that's my fucking constitutional right.
Right.
That I get to do whatever the fuck I want to do, even if it means threatening the health and lives of other people. So it's like, again, it's, you know, people, vaccinated people aren't the ones that are being questioned about their information and their viewpoints. It's always the unvaccinated people that are saying some fucking psychotic shit.
It's about freedom, man. Freedom from consequence at every turn for every single thing I do. That's what freedom is. Freedom from fucking consequence. Because I have misconstrued this concept of freedom where you can do anything you like into I can be as nasty and fucked up as I'd like to anybody. And no one better say shit to me because this is America and I just redefine freedom.
The American dream is now just getting so rich that you can remove yourself from the human condition, which includes like dealing with other people.
That you can say $250,000 isn't enough.
A little
money.
Bit of money.
Right.
And again, yeah. It's
what's $250,000 if I can say fuck you to Canada? Am I right?
Well, again, that's the concept of the culture of fuck you money, which is basically, I have so much money, I can say fuck you to anything. And that's fucking freedom, right?
That's tight, dude. Mm-hmm. Sick. Anyways, go Blue Jays, I guess, is the moral of that story.
Yeah. I would just love that it turns out like Toronto just is like this city that just crushes other teams. And they're like, yeah, bring your anti-vaxxers. Oh, right. You can't.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry about that.
They like get to the World Series and they suck. They've just been playing like teams that don't have any players the whole season. That would be pretty funny.
Oh, shit.
Well, Greta, truly a pleasure as always having you.
Was it? I feel like this episode I've just been like, everything's fucking bad. I've Scrapple and
it was.
You brought us a little joy.
The news
with the
is bad and you bring us joy. So that's thank you so much for doing it.
The news is definitely not good. I'll tell you that much. The news is not good, but it's always a pleasure to chat with you both about it.
Well, that is why we're so grateful that you keep coming on, despite the news never getting any better. Yeah. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Oh, my goodness. You can listen to I'm on the Clown Parade, which is Big Money Players, iHeartRadio podcast where I made a podcast from the POV of my stepmother character.
So good. Yeah, incredible.
She, you know, she's teaching you how to find a husband, to, you know, secure the bag of your dreams so that you too can have fuck you money.
There you go.
And that's out, and you should definitely go and check that out. And you can listen to my other podcast, Senior Superlatives, where I talk to everyone about their high school experiences. Both of you should come on. Would love to chat with you.
Hell yeah.
And then, you know, Los Spooky season 2 is going to be coming out in September at some point. Oh, nice. So
amazing.
Am I allowed to say that? I don't know. But yeah. I just did. Okay, yeah. So
we're going
to
get a breathless email from your publicist. We're going to be like, whoa. How do you unpublish podcasts?
Were you on the Daily Zeitgeist recently? Okay, well, like 10 people just heard what you said. So
no, I get a lot of love from this podcast.
I'm joking. It's worldwide. Nice. You know, internationally
we're always
known
shocked.
Locally respected.
We're always shocked how many people listen.
And grateful. Very great.
Wait, real quick, what were you like in high school?
What was I like in high school?
I'm curious.
It's gotta be something like this,
on,
right?
It depends on what year.
Oh, okay.
Oh shit.
I was like big stoner vibes, sceney kind of vibes. I had jet black hair and crooked bangs, and I, emo girl. Cool.
Were you smoking cigarettes too?
Oh yeah, Parliament Lights. You
okay,
know.
Yeah. I'm making sure that, like, I'm like, you can't be that chick that I'm envisioning and not smoke cigarettes.
Oh yeah, smoked cigarettes. You know, emotional. Wasn't very good in school. Art girl. Like, kind of the whole thing.
Yeah, we would have kicked it.
Come on the pod and we can talk all about it. I feel, Jack, were you a good student? Because you're giving me good student energy.
I was a good student, yeah.
Yeah. That's why me and my
were you smoking cigarettes, Jack?
Dork. I was smoking cigarettes, but.
Oh, nice.
You were?
Okay.
Yeah. But not like openly, like, you know.
What do you mean?
Have like a Marlboro 27 at a party.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Like smoking your aunt's butts that were in the tray, ashtray. You're like, oh, God.
Yeah. I went to prep school, so I was like dipping in the dorm, which was gross.
Were you doing pouches?
No.
That raw,
disgusting. Yeah.
Gross.
So gross. Yeah.
Gross.
Just a big one. Well, spitters all the way down everywhere in the room. So gross.
Jesus.
Truly the worst decision I've ever made in my life. Please, if you're young or old, don't start dipping. It's very hard to quit, too.
I feel like dip is very passe now, don't you think?
I would hope so.
That, like, I mean, my cousin still dips. I still know a few people that dip. And whenever people pull out and like pack a lip, I'm always like, really?
Damn, yeah. I haven't seen that. I truly haven't seen that in 20 years.
I feel like the way I see it now, as I see my homies who have just had kids, like I think that's like their way of like secretly like getting fucked up or something. Like,
there's a weird thing that happens when you have kids and you're like, I mean, it's the midlife crisis. Like that's why so many men like lose their mind and, you know, do something.
Start packing lips.
Yeah. That is up there with the bad things that you can do.
Come over to my house. We'll pack lips. We'll eat hot dogs.
Taste some butts, dude.
There you go.
You just had a kid and realized that everything you've done has been on the backs of women your whole life. Oh, is that kind of freaking me out? Choose to dip.
That's a great way to make that feeling go away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just add to the disorienting feeling of your uselessness by adding a nicotine rush.
There you go. Greta, is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Okay, this one I really liked. Dan Licata. If people don't know who Dan Licata is, you need to follow Dan Licata on Twitter, one of my favorite comedians. And Dan tweeted, "She's a 10, but she's already married to Bill Clinton."
Oh my God.
That's great.
So that made me chuckle.
Oh, shit.
Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Check out Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. Check out 420 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexander if you want to hear me talk 90 Day. Some tweets that I like. Okay, there was that, Jack. I know we like the same one. And I checked because sometimes I'll like a tweet and I go, if Jack saw this shit, I know he liked it too. And I know you liked it. So I'm going to skip that one.
No, do it because it might not be the one that I was going to share. I got a lot.
Well, I just got another one that I'm going to do. First one is from Panic at the Discourse at Kinjal Dave 7 tweeted, "British people struggling in this heat wave. Stay strong. Your ancestors colonized entire countries in this heat."
I saw that this morning.
That's good.
People love to go for that one. And then another one's from Tori Rubenstein at Tori Rubenstein tweeted, and Jack, I think we saw this video over the weekend. It said, "Joel Embiid dancing the Hora is the only thing I want to see on social media this week." King. And Joel Embiid is at this wedding. They got the Hora going, and this man just stands out. And he is having
so much fun. He's got the biggest smile. I wonder what happens
when they get in the chairs, though. Like, do you look at Joel Embiid to be like, "Yo, bro, you got to get in on this, like, to lift this shit. You're, like, 9,000 feet tall. Like, please help out with that."
Oh, anyway. I thought you meant, like, will he sit in the chair?
Could you imagine? That's like horror abuse. If you're like, "All right, now me, like, the biggest guy here."
Right. Let's see. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Some tweets I've been enjoying. Bailey Moon tweeted, "Hunter Biden is the closest thing we'll get to a real life Kendall Roy." Sarah AJ clearly tweeted, "Every Beastie Boys song is like Three Little Piggies, egg fried rice. I spy some girlies and they all look nice." And then somebody replied with another one from Illy Boshin earlier in the year, tweeting, "Beastie Boys voice. I got my pants pulled down, my dick pulled out. I'm taking a piss in my very own mouth." I listen to a lot of Beastie Boys. My kids like it, and those both just resonated with me as Beastie Boys.
I like my sugar with coffee and cream. You know what I mean?
And then I liked the police claiming that like fentanyl, like looking at fentanyl killed them or like gave them contact high. Return of the Lloyd tweeted, "Throwing bags of fentanyl out the window during a police chase and the cops start spinning out and crashing like Mario Kart." Like that. Was that what did I
no,
did I hit the one?
Candyman Tim Tam.
Candyman Tim Tam?
Yeah. At Candyman Tim Tam, it says, "Spits out mouthful of blood. Yeah. It's gonna take more than that to kill me. Dentist, for the love of God, just floss."
That was also on my list. So that's a good one.
That was one I've been
going through some teeth cleanings past couple weeks. And
a little too. Hit close to home.
It's hard. It's not going great. Anyways, you can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do you think people might enjoy?
We're going to just do a nice little instrumental beat track from Kareem Riggins called Summer Madness, but it's on an album that one of my favorite artists, Kamal Williams, put out under DJ Kicks. So this is called Summer Madness S.A. I think it's a reference to South Africa. But yeah, this is Kareem Riggins' DJ Kicks album, Get Into It.
All right, well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. And we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.